But first, we've all heard of tiny houses or at least seen them on HGTV. Well, now there's an effort right here in the Valley to build something a little different, micro-estates. The idea here is more about community, not just about the size of the home.
It's part of a broader movement toward what's called small-scale development. ASU Stardust Center is hosting a forum on the topic today, and our co-host Lauren Gilger sat down with two of the participants. Astrid Kaldos is senior climate scientist with the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists, and David Crummy is real estate development manager at Newtown CDC, which is working to build the Tempe micro-estates. First question, what exactly is small-scale development?
The short answer is no clear-cut definition, but small-scale development is more about more holistic development that fits better in our neighborhoods, that is more incremental. So instead of building 200, 300, 400 units of housing or 40,000 square feet of retail all at the same time, more about the small things that perhaps even our neighbors could be the developers. Developers that are people that are in our neighborhood that know the community better, and with funds and investment that comes from our community rather than having to go after national funding or things that will work on national markets.
So small on multiple levels there, it sounds like.
Yes.
What are its goals, Astrid?
I think the main thing about this small-scale development is that we cannot really afford to develop any more land or change any more land for different uses. We need all the natural land that we still have, particularly to prevent further climate change. You know, whenever you are talking about climate change, there is a big part of it is the land use change. And we have deforested, we have paved over wetlands, and we have built along rivers. And we cannot really afford to keep building and expanding. So it's better that we kind of get contained where we are and we do things small scale, because it's not only more sustainable, but it's good for the environment and for the people.
Yeah, so this definitely has an environmental goal.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You are a climate scientist, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What would be sort of the implications of this if we started to shift our development in this direction right now?
The implication would be huge, because about a year ago, the Intergovernment Panel on Climate Change released its big report, the 1.5 warming report, which is telling us what would happen if we warmed up 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees over pre-industrial times, and what is needed to get there. And one of the main things that they said is that we need transformational change in the way we live. And that's the hardest part, is for people to change the way they live. So a big part of changing the way we live is living in more sustainable communities and having less impact on a variety of fronts on the community and on the land and on the environment as a whole. So it's a huge part.
Small-scale development is also looking at traditional neighborhood development patterns. So historically in America, we have a traditional American development pattern, and we stopped doing that started in 1920, but by the 70s, we really stopped doing it. We started the Grand Suburban Experiment, which completely changed how we built American cities. And we need to go back to traditional American development patterns to build more resilient communities, communities that are healthier for people to live in. But we need to go back and look at the successes of American cities, and where do we work best? Where is innovation at its best? Where is it best to raise children? Where is it best to grow old? And all of those things, America has great experience in that, and we want to look at that tradition that we have and pull from that to say, we did this right. We've gone away from it in some cases. In some cases, we stay with it.
Yeah.
But how do we make sure that we are preserving our American heritage in our communities and being resilient and having those common connections?
Yeah, it's interesting because I wouldn't think of it as traditional. I'd think of like suburbia as traditional, but you're saying this goes back further, right?
Yeah, the suburban experiment really started in the 1940s,
right.
In New York,
yeah.
And it completely shifted the way we build houses, the way that we fund building houses. It really enforced car dependency. So people that can't drive or people that perhaps stay at home during the day, the neighborhoods empty out during the day, and it creates a sense of isolation.
Yeah. It is really important what he's saying, because social studies analysis have shown that tightly knit communities fare a lot better, particularly in light of disasters when there are floods or there are hurricanes or there are wildfires. And the suburbia thing kind of have this sprawl, but the small development would enhance this feeling of a tightly knit community, this feeling of I am part of this community, so I will help my neighbor more than if I am out every day away, you know, from my home.
Yeah.
So there is this thing of one looking after another, and that's a very, very important thing also for the communities.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, so David, you're working on developing just this, right here in Tempe. Tell us, you know, what would this look like?
Yeah, so the Tempe Microestates is designed as an intentional neighborhood where residents share that desire to interact with others. And each home is small and private, but the sense of community that it's in is intended to be big. The project was inspired by a student team at ASU and ASU's School of Sustainability. They looked at this with the city of Tempe back in 2015 to say, what would a small development look like? And how do we fill in these empty pockets that may exist? So it's really a test that we're working with the city of Tempe to look at how does small-scale infill subdivision work. It's not a condominium. It's actual detached single-family homes on their own lots, able to get a conventional mortgage with some sustainable features. They're all one-bedroom lofted homes. So it's actually pretty spacious. It's larger than the average apartment in a Tempe.
Larger than the average apartment in Tempe, but also, like you mentioned, Astrid, like a really big shift in how we live our lives, right? So I wonder how you think you sort of convince people that this is a way to go, right? Because we have moved so far away from that, where you don't even know your neighbors in most cases nowadays, right? This is looking at this kind of intangible community element, but also looking at just living on a smaller scale.
Yes, there's so much to say about that. The society has moved steadily towards more isolation. And we see that now also with social media and with the phones and everything. People don't talk with each other anymore. They email. They don't pick up the phone. They rarely pick up the phone. It's all email and texting and everything. So this, I see this as a process that started with, you know, the suburbia experiment and everything, because people tend to want to live their own lives and not mess with each other's businesses. So it's like, that's not my business. Mm-hmm. This is not my business. But it is, because that's what creates a community. That's what creates your resilience. That's what really creates a much better quality of life for you, as opposed to you being isolated. But the frame of mind is not there yet. So how do we change people's frame of mind? You have to really appeal to this partnership, if you will, of, you know, one people helping each other and people really supporting each other and people having potlucks or people going to the park together. People go to the park with their dogs. And they don't know everybody there, but the dogs are playing. Well, why can they not play, right? Or something like that.
There seems to be, and maybe this is a generational thing, David, you might be able to speak to that, but like there seems to be a desire, right, especially among young people right now, to urbanize, to centralize, to be around people that they know and kind of create that community. Is that something you can tap into here, you think?
Absolutely. People are social, period. Look at how we go out. We go out to bars and places where we can talk to people. We like being around other people. So I don't necessarily think that we don't want it. Sure, social media or things like that can create distractions, but we still crave that interaction. And we also crave that as an introvert. I like to be able to step back a little bit from that. But the idea that we can get in and work with other people, we crave it, we need it, which is why not just in the Valley, but not or in the U.S., but in the world over, we live in cities. Humans have been living in cities since we've been getting around.
Everybody craves, as David was saying, everybody craves this being social and being with other people. But there are compartments of people that you want to be with.
Yeah.
And to have these some of these infill developments, for instance, they may be multi-units. You know, they may have people that are by your side, and some people may be apprehensive about the fact that who is going to be living by my side?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to I have my house and I can isolate myself. So there's this fine line between our human nature of being social and what society, by being social and creating this society in these cities, have made us become, in a sense. So there's this, you know, this, it's kind of an interesting thing.
But that's the balance you're trying to strike here, David, right?
Yeah, well, it's also about choice. And so there are infinite number of choices to go and buy a single family home on with 6 feet between you and your other neighbor in any other community that you can drive into your garage and not have to go outside. But we don't have as many choices to live in places that have at least a little bit more community. And so what small scale development is saying that we need to go back where we had that choice. There are people that want choices in where they live and how they live. And small scale development and this type of infill, to go back to traditional American urbanism, is providing that choice that the market hasn't provided very well historically, and there's a demand for it.
All right. David Crummy, Astrid Caldos, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was our co-host Lauren Gilger speaking with Astrid Caldos, senior climate scientist with the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. And David Crummy is real estate development manager at Newtown CDC, which is developing the Tempe Microestates.